The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of KUCI or the University of California at Irvine.
Old man down. Way down, down by the docks of the city. Coffee. I got no time, got some time to hear his story. My name is August West, and I love my Perry Baker better than all my wine.
If you say That's music from Midnight Oil, doing their version of the Grateful Dead's Wharf Rat. A nod to our imminent discussion of rats and mice today, as we ease into this week's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live on the internet at kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rousing rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. And here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from our calls, from your calls, from assorted other sources. We're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been just shy of 3 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've been already extremely fortunate to have a string of terrific guests, including in recent weeks, Tawny Lee Thompson, a vet tech affiliated with the Red Cross, who teaches classes in pet, first aid, and CPR. Dr. Sophia Yin, a Davis-based veterinarian researcher and author, discussing her pioneering work, research on dog barks and what they mean. Actor-comedian Kevin Nealon, the former star of Saturday Night Live, who's a longtime champion of animals and animal rights. And last week, Kristen von Kreisler, an author whose latest book, Bee, The Story of the Beagle Who Changed My Life, is a memoir of sorts about her experiences finding, adopting, and living with a beagle that previously had been an animal used in laboratory experiments. We're delighted to continue in that vein today with Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson joining us in studio this morning from the local chapter of the Rat and Mouse Club of America. We'll hear all about the club, the care and feeding of rats and mice, as welcome members of the family, as opposed to their interloping wild counterparts, and other related topics when we speak with Deborah and Diane in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, observations, of course, any comments you have about past shows, stories you might have spotted, it's all most welcome here at 949-UCI-KUCI, 949-824-5824. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, or international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar if you haven't already done so. Also, if there are ever news stories or announcements you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And I'm extremely delighted and excited to announce the arrival of the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll visit the site at www.talkinganimals.net. That's .net, folks, where you'll find archives of nearly all the shows we've done since launching the program in June, along with synopses of each show, assorted photographs and text, all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So check out the site, and that we've just launched it. There are all kinds of things we'll add over time, and would enthusiastically welcome your input on that. So again, the website is talkinganimals.net. And you can email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. Meanwhile, let's talk turkey, as it were, with our animal news. We're going to abbreviate a little bit so we can get right into speaking with Deborah and Diane. But as always, I want to briefly at least hit Tiger Rescue, the facility in Colton that's been in the news off and on for several months. And again, that's a facility that was a so-called sanctuary for tigers and other big cats. Totally neglected facility, totally neglected animals. The proprietor's up on criminal charges. Meanwhile, many of those animals are still there, and there's an amazing man named Chuck Tracy who's stepped in from his own facility, the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Ramona, who's been looking after the day-to-day operation of Tiger Rescue. But mainly, it's been done by a ever-changing battalion of volunteers who drive into Colton from Del Mar, from Ventura, from Costa Mesa, from everywhere, to kind of feed, clean, water, and look after these tigers, other big cats, and other animals as well. And it's really, you know, they really still need volunteers. They've moved some of the cats. They're hoping to move more when they can find places that are willing to take them and or places that are willing to take them that have enclosures for them. So in the meantime, if you ever have a free weekday or a free weekend day where you could drive out to Colton and help out It'd be much appreciated, and you'd have an amazing experience, I can assure you. I've been out there a couple times. I wish I'd been out there more. I'm hoping to get out there again. But email us at talkinganimals@aol.com, and we'll hook you up with that. On a very related note, this Saturday, September 20th, Richard Reardon, former mayor of L.A., and the Fund for Animals are hosting Save the Tigers Party. It's cocktails, hors d'oeuvres, silent auction to benefit the emergency placement of these rescued tigers who need good homes. In many cases, the funds are really going to be devoted to building enclosures for sanctuaries, legitimate sanctuaries, who can take the tigers, have the space, but don't have the enclosures. So that's this Saturday, September 20th. Email us again at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'll give you more details. Or if you can't make it and just want to send a check to help the animals, we'll get you hooked up with that as well. Also, there's a animal rescue site that I only just became aware of recently that if you go every day basically and click on it, because of an arrangement they have with corporate sponsors and advertisers, then money is then devoted to various animal rescue operations. So seems legitimate, doesn't seem to be a catch, and you can go, you know, like I say, every day, and the more people that do, the more money is freed up for helping animal rescue operations. So it's www.theanimalrescuesite, all one word, no punctuation, .com. So please try to go there daily if you can and help our animal friends. And also coming up in October, there's a cool comedy benefit. It's the fourth annual comedy benefit for the Buddy Hackett Singita Animal Sanctuary. And that's going to be held on October 15th at the El Capitan Theater in L.A. And it's always been a pretty successful evening and benefit. But I think this year with Buddy's passing, it promises to be even kind of a more special night. So comedians like Jay Moore, Louis Anderson, Paul Rodriguez, Bobcat Goldthwait, some of the folks from Last Comic Standing and others are going to be performing. So you can, again, probably email us. The best thing is I don't have the exact contact information for that. So just contact us at talkinganimals@aol.com. But that's October 15th for the Buddy Hackett Singita Animal Sanctuary. And lastly, and more pertinently, coming up on October 25th, and we'll be talking about this between now and then as well, but it's the Sales and Adoption Day and General Meeting for the Rat and Mouse Club of Southern California, Rat and Mouse Club of America, Southern California chapter, I guess is a better way to put that. And from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., there will be a sales and adoption opportunities, and members may bring any rats and mice that are available for sale or adoption. Although it's important to note, all animals must pass a health check before entering, and you need to supply your own table. And in fact, here, why don't we meet you guys, and you guys can tell us a little bit about this, and then we can ease right into where we're going. So this is Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson from the Rat and Mouse Club of America, the Southern California chapter, and welcome, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you guys hear yourselves okay and hear me well? You can get probably one, or you can get maybe a bit closer if you can. And so, yeah, why don't you, I mean, we'll read this other times when you're not here, but since we do have you here, you should probably tell us about this event on the 25th.
Do you want to go first, Diane? Oh, I guess you'd like to do the talking.
All right.
Well, we try and have an event about every other month where we put any animals that are in our rescue, Furry Friends Orphanage, up for adoption so that we can get them homes and move them out of our foster homes. And we're also having a costume contest at that time. We try to do something fun every so often so that people can have fun with their pets also.
So the rat and the mice are put in costume, and
put
then
in costumes. You're just not allowed to use Barbie doll clothes because that's cheating.
I see. So these have to be sort of more handmade. Is that
right,
the idea? Okay.
Outfits,
so that's part of the contest. Judging is the.
And it doesn't have to be super fancy. We have little kids that make. A couple years ago, a little kid made a porcupine outfit for his rat by gluing yarn all over a little vest and attaching it to him. So we give out. Are we giving out trophies this time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a trophy for the best costume.
Wow! Cool. But otherwise, it sounds like a great opportunity for people to get more acquainted with rat and mice and to become to have them as companion animals,
right?
Cool. And also, I noticed that if your rats need their nails clipped,
oh that's my.
That's another thing that that you'll be offering. So that's cool. All right. Well, gosh, thank you guys so much for coming in. And also, I should note, although it's probably hard to see this clearly over radio, we also have four rats that you guys were nice enough to bring in.
So we have a recent rescue that we did that was the four adult males, plus a mama rat and 10-day-old babies. And the mama rat and her babies are in foster care because baby rats have to stay with their mom. So they're at least 4 weeks old, and we like to leave them until they're five. That gives them an extra week. And then after that, they're available for adoption. But we did bring the four males, which consists of the father and the three sons, with us.
And I know you mentioned just before we went on the air that the younger ones don't yet have names. Does the father have a name?
We try not to name them in foster care.
Oh, yeah.
That makes you want to keep them.
Oh, right. I see.
And I have enough rats of my own. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to get into all that in a sec. But first of all, let's maybe back up a little bit and just find out about the Rat and Mouse Club of America generally. Both overall and the Southern California chapter. I mean, what's the history and when was, when was it founded? I think the local chapter was founded in 95, I want to say, or...
Actually, the National Club.
The Southern
California chapter is actually the founding chapter.
Oh, okay.
And we were founded in 1995.
Okay.
As a pet club. And we used to show our rats in both color and pet classes. But due to the contagiousness of rat viruses within the rat community, we decided to stop showing. Too many rats were losing their lives just so somebody could win a ribbon. Mm. So we decided to stop it, and now we're just a club of a group of rat people that like to get together. We do educational exhibits. We're at the Orange County Fair. We're at the America's Family Pet Expo in April at the Orange County Fair. And we're just trying to get out there to let people know that rats and mice make great pets, and they're not as horrible as people think they are.
Well, yeah, and I definitely want to get into that as well. When did you each, start having, kind of sharing your homes with rats and or mice? Now, first of all, do you each have rats or mice or both?
I just have rats.
Okay.
I'm not a mouse person.
Probably
98%. Rats. We have a few mice people, but most of it is rats.
Okay. All right. So when did you, Deborah,
about 12
first?
12 years ago.
Really? Yeah. And what prompted that? Why a rat?
I wanted a dog, and we were living in a very small town home, and I didn't think it was fair to bring a dog into a house where it couldn't go out. So my husband and I went out, and we got a single rat from a pet store, and he was named Ratty, and we just fell in love with him. And then when he passed away, I happened to find the Rat and Mouse Club, and started getting my rats through their rescue orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a couple of years, when we split into the chapter and the national, I went ahead and was asked to be a board member. So I've been a board member for a long time. And
oh, good.
Have lots of rats now.
So how many would you say you have at this moment?
Personally, I have 12.
Okay.
But I also am fostering two females with babies and two pregnant females and a litter baby. So I think I have 45 rats in my home.
My goodness. Wow.
There's cages in every room.
Yeah, I know that. I can only imagine. Wow. And you, Diane, how about you? When did you first become a, I take you're also a rat person as opposed to a mouse person,
yes.
I'm guessing.
Although
yeah.
I've had both,
mm-hmm.
but the rats just make better pets.
Yeah.
Not only are they
how
bigger.
So?
They're bigger and easier for children to handle.
Okay.
And they're much more social, whereas if a rat were to get off, say your children were playing with the rat, and it were to get down on the floor, rats can learn their name. They come when they called. They don't hide.
Hmm.
If a mouse were to get away from a child, it would be very hard to catch. They,
oh yeah,
you know, they're just
more skittish kind of. Or,
oh
yeah,
yeah.
You know, they're about 4 inches long, and they're very. They can squeeze in the little tiny spaces
mm-hmm.
that you can't get to. So.
So it sounds like they're lucky to even be included in the club name, really, right? I mean, they sound like the kind of ostracized...
Well, they used to be more popular when people were showing them,
mm-hmm.
because they're just really not the type of animal that you could take out for a walk, or, you know, some people take their rats everywhere with them. It's hard to do with a mouse, because if it were to ever get off your shoulder,
it would be gone. Right, yeah.
So I think that's the reason why the rats are much more popular.
And how about you? How many rats do you have currently?
We have two, but mm-hmm. I also do fostering, and I have 10 others in my home that I call permanent fosters that will probably never find a home just because they're getting older.
Mm.
Or they might have, they have health issues. And
oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
And so I guess for a lot of us who aren't as steeped in that world as you are, I'd sort of say that rats kind of have a bad rap, would you say? So, first of all, why is that? But more to the point, why are those of us who think that or might think that wrong?
Well, the first thing we always hear is people say, I have those in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong. These rats that are in pet stores and that especially come through our rescues are domesticated animals. It's the same difference between the coyote that's running in your backyard and a Pekingese that lives in your house. They have been bred in captivity since at least the 1700s, probably before. Mm-hmm. They were very popular pets in the 1700s and 1800s in England. They come from laboratory rats. That's where most of the stock came from. And they're very different from the wild rats. We do not condone keeping wild rats as pets. We get calls a lot from people saying that they've found a litter of babies in their garage, and can't they raise them and they'll be friendly? And no, they're not a domesticated animal.
So that really is kind of foolhardy, even if they looked cute and they're young, whatever. It just sounds like
people that try it. But, you know, baby rats are just like any other baby. They have to be fed every 2 hours. They have to be stimulated to go to the bathroom. A lot of people don't realize what they're getting into, and then they usually remain skittish their whole lives because it's a wild animal.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to breed that animal for several generations, probably 10 or more, before you would get the wildness out of it.
Really?
So
yeah.
If you found a coyote laying out in your backyard puppy, you wouldn't want to bring that into your home and risk your family. So we don't recommend doing that either with wild rats.
And what would you guys say are maybe like the two or three like best things about having rats as pets?
I think they're the next best thing from a dog or a cat. They're very smart. They can learn their name. Although they are nocturnal animals, they are always willing to come out of their cage. Whenever you come home from work or the kids come home from school, they're always willing to come out and play with you.
That's
affectionate.
Very affectionate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much
mm-hmm.
need people. You can't leave a rat in a cage and just throw some food and water at it and expect it to be friendly. We've had rats that live, they're very social. We usually recommend that they go out in pairs for adoption because they need that social activity. And we hear stories all the time about rats that their cage mate passes on, and the rat literally just wills itself to death because it can't be alone. So they need people. They need interaction with people. They need interaction with other rats.
And how would you, because I know, like, when you first got your rats, it was because you didn't have the space to get, like, a dog.
Right.
Have you guys, one or both of you, had other kinds of pets, companion animals, whatever, before and during the time that you've had?
I currently have three large cats.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, how does that work?
Actually, it works out pretty good.
I have
a large house, and I have a room that's dedicated strictly to my pet rats, and my cats spend a lot of time sitting in the doorway of that room watching the rats play because everybody gets to come out. And I have one that will chase and try and get the rats, but he stops about 4 inches away because rats have very sharp teeth.
Oh, yeah? So he's learned the hard way, kind of?
You know, they get up real close to the cage and get chomped. And Diane has a very large
dog.
Goofy dog.
Oh, yeah?
who has learned he better keep his nose away.
Really?
Yes,
wow.
Because he's been bit a couple of times, and he's learned to respect.
Yeah.
And he knows which of the rats like him and which ones don't.
Sometimes he gives kisses to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
She has a couple
really?
Of rats that just loved her dog. They would sit there and, you know, groom his whole face.
Wow.
These four boys behind us happen to like him, so he'll actually put his nose on the table when they're out, and he might even put his front paws on the table and kind of push them around with his nose and everything, but boy, he learned to respect them.
Wow, so that's cool. So between the two of you, there's dogs and cats
right.
coexisting with rats.
People use that as an excuse a lot. They say, well, I can't get rats because I have a cat. And it's like, well, I have three. I used to have four at one time. And they're very fascinated by them because they move around quick.
Yeah.
But all it takes is get a nose or a foot a little too close to the cage, and it's not like a major injury. It's a hard nip on
it's
them.
Like a warning call, like stay
like
away.
Yeah, they stay away. And when mine come out to play, my cats are very curious, but they know enough not to chase.
Wow, that's cool. I wouldn't necessarily have guessed that. And how would you recommend that someone would get started? Let's say they're listening to this, or just otherwise, they've sort of been thinking about having a rat, and you know, what would be the first couple steps that you would recommend they take?
The first thing we recommend is do not go to a pet store.
Okay.
Unfortunately, most people providing to pet stores are providing quantity, not quality. And one of the easiest ways that we get members is we get phone calls from people saying, I got a rat from a pet store and it just gave birth. A lot of pet stores do not separate their male and female rats, and it only takes a few seconds for a male to impregnate a female. And we hear excuses from pet stores such as, well, they're only together for a day. Well, that's more than long enough.
Doesn't take, yeah.
And we unfortunately have the experience of a lot of pet stores where the animals are just in atrocious health. They're sick with respiratory illnesses. They have mites. The animals are older animals that have not been socialized. And a lot of the people at the pet stores just don't have enough information about the rats. So unsuspecting families take home this rat expecting it to be this loving pet, and it turns out to be something completely different.
Wow.
Or it passes away, which is the most horrible thing I think to do to a child, is to buy a pet and it dies within a week. I mean, goldfish is okay, but this is something it usually bond with.
Seems
so we
different.
Always recommend, if you want to get a rat or a mouse as a pet, contact a club.
Like you guys, for example. Yeah. And again, we want to emphasize, as we will a few times, it's www.rmca.org. And then that'll kind of, and there's a link to your specific club, but just generally that'll kind of give you the lowdown.
That's
right?
Our national site. It also has links to animals that are available to other rescues that are in the area. We have rescues listed there from Northern California all the way to Nevada to Southern California, down in the San Diego area, because we have a variety of people that belong to the club that also run their own rescues.
Cool.
So. All the rats in our rescue have been in our possession for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. Now, like those guys that are here?
Well, these guys are not technically available for adoption yet
because
they have not been here,
here
for 2 weeks. So
should we
take them? Yeah, we quarantine everyone for 2 weeks.
Most rat illnesses pop up within a 2 week period, so we quarantine them. Yes.
Yeah.
So we also like to, what we can do is when somebody wants a pet, say for a child, we will make sure that they get an animal that was meant for a child. Some rats just don't like the closeness that some kids hold them or something, but because we've gotten to know the animal, we try to match up.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Personalities and sort of, you know, if it's going to be with the kids.
There's
or
some rats that need more of an experienced touch, say for somebody who's had rats before.
Right.
So in that 2 week period, at least 2 week period, we would get to know the animal and know what kind of home they need to go into.
It also allows us to quarantine their health, as Diane said. Because we don't, if you already have rats in your family, we don't want you to bring home a new friend and accidentally bring in an illness that your rats haven't been exposed to.
Now, is this guy, I'm now holding a little fella in my hands, is he nervous, scared, or is he just exploring?
He's exploring.
Okay.
He wants to know what's going on. There's all these, they live by their noses. Rats have very bad eyesight.
Okay.
So his nose is telling him, he's smelling everything that ever happened in here. The people
okay.
sitting
well,
in the
chairs.
Well,
that's a long tail, probably, so to speak. Yeah. But, all right, well, as long as he's happy.
Oh, yeah, he's just checking everything out.
All right, cool. And so he will be, as his siblings will be, sort of just watched by you guys, see what's up medically and otherwise.
Right.
And then once that 2 week period has passed and the coast seems to be clear medically, during that time you'll also have seen what kind of personality traits and how kind of kid friendly or not he might be, they might be. And then from there the placement could take could happen.
I have a card table set up in my den, and every day I'll bring sets of rats out so they can play and get, I can get to know them. I like I said, these guys happen to like our dog, which is a nice thing for somebody who has a dog in their household.
Yeah.
Some rats don't.
So like, would these guys would be out running free when the dog is there, or still in their cage?
No, they'll be out running free, but they're on a table.
Okay. Oh, I see. So they're up above where the dog is.
Because rats are very destructive. They love to chew on anything they can get a hold of, be it your headphone cords, your computer cables, electrical cables.
All right.
They do need
well, we're suddenly off the air. I guess we'll know why. Yeah. But
we'll keep them from chewing. You know?
All right. That's
the edge
cool.
of your antique furniture. We don't recommend that. We call free range ratties, rats that get to run free all the time. We don't really recommend that because they can be litter box trained, but you know, they do tend to do make little
their
accidents
business.
As they're running around.
Yeah.
And they do love to chew. They don't think anything of chewing on your Louis XIV chair because, hey, it tastes good.
Yeah, it tastes better than some of the other chairs, probably.
On
yeah.
your wall.
And what about, is there something to be said for when you are adopting rats, doing it in pairs? I think I read somewhere.
Try to get them to go out in pairs. I mean,
or threes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
threes.
But in other words, not solitary, yeah. But the idea is multiples,
we do
right?
Let solitary animals yeah. go out, but it has to be, I mean, the person that adopts that animal solitary has to understand that you have to be the social life for your animal. We have some people that they take the rat, they work out of their home, so the rat is with them 24/7, and in that case, it's usually okay, but most situations, you know, people are working, children are at school. You just don't have the time to be with your rat 24/7.
And they need more socialization and stimulus and that kind of thing.
You know, they
is that,
groom
yeah.
each other. They have their little squabbles. These guys, you can see they're all piled up in their hammock
yeah.
sleeping together.
Sure.
You know,
occasionally, though, we do get a rat, though, that we feel doesn't need any company. It's just, it's got some attitude problems.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really meant to live
boy.
On its own.
Sure. And again, you can see that over
yeah.
that two-week mm-hmm. time, probably, just given the expertise you guys have developed over the years. Wow.
Yeah, we're not perfect. When we do our adoptions, we have a form that people fill out.
Mm-hmm.
We do an adoption screening process to make sure that they're taking them for the right reason.
Ask a lot of questions.
We ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. We have told people, you know what, rats just aren't right for you, or this just isn't going to work. Because we have their welfare in mind. We don't want them back.
Sure.
In 3 months because you got tired of them or it just wasn't what you were expecting. We tell people the honest truth. You know, they do require care. You've got to clean the cage once a week. You've got to make sure that they're watch their health. If they need to go to the vet, they need to go to the vet. That's one of the common misconceptions is, oh, the animal was inexpensive and it didn't cost that much. Therefore, I guess I don't have to provide veterinarian care. They don't need shots and regular checkups, but if they do get ill, and every so often they get tumors, that's one of the things you'll hear
about.
Oh,
yeah.
Tumors can be removed, and sometimes they do get respiratory illnesses that do need a veterinarian's intervention. We expect our people that adopt to be able to provide that for them. So it's not a completely carefree animal. It's just like any pet, you have to provide for its well-being.
Yeah. And how long, I guess that raises a question, how long do rats typically live?
2 to 3 years, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, their hearts beat very, very fast.
Yeah.
It's 240 beats a minute. So their heart beats only so long. But with proper care and nutrition, 2.5 is a perfectly normal time span.
Wow.
We've had some people that have had their rats go 3.5 years.
Unfortunately, for so many years, rats were bred for laboratory experiments.
Yeah.
And they've been bred to be very weak. They've been bred to be very prone to tumors and prone to respiratory.
Oh, geez.
So that's how you have to test for medications is to give the animal the illness.
Yeah.
So,
And now it's just really hard to breed it back out.
Wow. I guess I didn't have any idea the life expectancy was
that.
Yeah. Now, what ideally should they eat, and what do they sometimes eat that probably isn't so good?
Well, one of the most common misconceptions is people go to do pet stores and they buy the rat and grain mixes that are available over the counter, which are great as a treat, but that nutritionally is just too high in fats and oils for the rat, and it tends to make illnesses more prevalent.
Mm.
Females are more prone to tumors with a high fat diet, and males are more prone to just bad skin and other illnesses because of that. So we do recommend that they eat a balanced laboratory block, and actually our club does sell that.
Oh, yeah.
We sell, we're like one-stop shopping. We sell everything from, we have the animals for adoption, we have cages that we have that are specifically designed for rats and mice. We sell food, toys, bedding, everything that's
needed. Wow.
So we buy our laboratory blocks directly from a manufacturer who makes lab blocks for laboratory rats. These laboratory rats have to be the healthiest and most nutritionally sound animal, because if they're going to do any testing, they need them to be perfect. And it's not the same style as blocks that you can buy over the counter, because pet stores carry a different type of block that has a lot of fillers in it. So we do sell that food, and we recommend to everyone that comes to us, or even if you have rats from someplace else, get a hold of us, and the food is just wonderful. It's nutritionally balanced. It has everything in it they need.
Cool.
And all the proceeds go back to the club.
Yeah,
oh, great.
We get nothing. We volunteer.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And before I forget, we only have, unfortunately, a few more minutes, but if anybody listening has any questions for Deborah or Diane, it's 949-824-5824 to join us on the phone here, 949-UCI-KUCI. So basically, it sounds like really the club is, as you say, kind of full service. Now, as part of that, is that where this Furry Friends Orphanage I've heard about and read about, is that also part
Furry
of the...
Furry Friends Orphanage is our adoption portion of it. The club actually handles the merchandise and the cages, and we run the meetings. But Furry Friends is the rescue group. We're the ones that, even though it's us and we're part of the club, we go out and we work with the local animal shelters. Most of the animal shelters have our phone numbers, and a lot of the local animal shelters do not like to handle small animals. They just don't have the facilities for them.
Mm.
So if someone calls saying, I found a rat, or my favorite one, my neighbor moved off and left their rats. We just had that happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, left a mama, babies, and dad in a cage that was way too small for 14 rats. And so he called the local animal shelter, who referred them to us. And then we go down and evaluate the animals. So that the orphanage charges an adoption fee for each animal. It's 10 for one and 15 for two, and multiples higher than two, it's negotiable.
Oh, yeah.
We want to charge just enough so somebody doesn't try to get snake food off of us.
Oh, I see.
Which has happened in the past.
Yeah. So. You know, if you give them away for free, then snake people show up, and we don't want them to eat our friends.
No, my goodness, wow.
So that portion of it works with the rescue, not so much education, and we also do large adoption events, like Diane said, at the America's Family Pet Expo every April, at the Orange County Fair.
Right, yeah, and at the fair, and then also, and when is the expo, because
this year it's going to be the first weekend in April.
Okay.
And then at the Orange County Fair, we adopted out over 70 animals this year.
Really?
Yeah.
So people at the fair would come to your booth or wherever you are and just say, wow, that sounds cool and that's what I want to do? I mean, is that...
We've been at the fair for so many years.
There's just sort of a fixture there.
We have a few people that come specifically to come to see what we have in the rescue.
Wow.
Not to enjoy the fair, to come and see what we got. So
and we don't adopt out at the fair, but we take, we do the interview process. And we reserve the animals, and then the animals are taken off display, because you can't take an animal from the fair and walk around.
We don't want people going to the fair to get a rat.
Right,
So we reserve them, we take them home, and then we arrange another time for you to come pick them up.
I see. Cool.
But they are out there on display, so that, and you know, the display is more for getting people to know rats and an educational purpose, but they can also see that these guys are available for adoption too.
Yeah. There's always volunteers out there that are willing to let them touch a rat. You know, there's a lot of people that they're terrified of rats. We hear this all the time. You know, I was terrified of rats till I came to the fair and I got to pet one, and then my kids got one, and now mom wants one.
Well,
she's a big member of
They are really friendly. I mean, just the little fellers I met this morning, they seem really cool. Yeah. So,
and they tend to bond with whoever's with them all the time, and that tends to be mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, neat. Well, all right, so anything else? We're probably just about at the end of our time that we should know. I mean, we definitely want to remind people again about the event on October 25th, the Sales and Adoption Day and General Meeting. And again, if there's any questions, would you rather give an email? Oh, actually, looks like we may have a call. Hold on one sec. KUCI. Oh, I think we lost him. All right, hopefully they'll call back. should they call or email, or what's, if they want more details on that, or go to the website, would that be...
It's probably just easier to call.
Okay.
I think we have our phone numbers listed on our website. Or, do we have phone numbers on the website? She doesn't think so. We're still working on our one website.
Hold on one sec.
It's kind of blinding.
KUCI. Yeah. It's weird. It's like there's a little problem with the phones, but hold on. Well, usually we get them right through, but anyway. All right. Then we can give that your phone number then? 949-770-0323. KUCI?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, I won some tickets yesterday, and I lost the paper that had the date on it. I think it's the 30th.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we're right in the middle of a different show right now. If you call back in a few minutes, I'll be happy to try to help you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
That's okay. Well, you never know. All right, we tried. We thought they might be calling about rats and mice, but they're calling about tickets. Okay. Anyway, so it's 949-770-0323 to find out more about the sales and adoption day at the and general meeting for the Rat and Mouse Club of America's Southern California chapter event. And again, I guess any last parting shot or tidbit we should know before we say goodbye to our...
At this event in October, we will probably have over what? 40 rats available for adoption, anywhere between 6 weeks old to adults.
And that's in Lake Forest.
Yes.
So people should know that just in case they want to plan it. So it's October 25th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And again, you can call 949-770-0323. Or, of course, you can always email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and we'll hook you up with Deborah and Diane. So we want to thank Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson from the Rat and Mouse Club of America, Southern California chapter, for joining us today on Talking Animals. And again, the overall website is www.rmca.org. And that's how you can find out more and maybe start to share your home with the rat. So cool. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in.
And
absolutely. And we're going to shift into the comedy corner, which we usually do before the interview, but this may or may not be a fitting thing. This is a, as always, an animal-related piece of stand-up, a vintage piece from Jonathan Winters that may tie in. That's Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI.
How about doing a mouse that's just been caught in a trap?
Well, see if I got my mouse voice with me tonight. That's a mouse, really. And I have to talk, otherwise a bit just lays there, you know?
I knew I should never have eaten that cheese. He poured some kind of diet cola on it. Oh, then there's a kitty with a big furry paw trying to get at me. Bad kitty, bad. Oh, he pulled my whiskers out. Now I won't be able to go through holes anymore. Oh, gosh. Oh, there's a little girl. Hi, little girl. Did you pick me up and make a pet out of me? Oh, she's squeezing me.
You're listening to Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI, and streaming live on the internet, www.kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was Jonathan Winters with a mouse that just caught in a trap. Taken from his collection, Stuff and Nonsense, back many, many years. So the Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals, and perhaps if we're not overreaching, our signature feature of Talking Animals. So if you... If you have any suggestions of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature on the Comedy Corner, please email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I want to also remind you that all the opinions, views, and other information expressed here in Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. And it's now time to shift into one of our... A little more fun features as well. It's Name That Animal Tune, and this is remarkably like any other version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related, usually just by virtue of an animal being part of the title, but occasionally it's a bit more indirect than that. So either way, like any version of this game, we can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons, not least that while the game hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. With that preamble behind us, but also noting there will always be a prize. Did he say prize? For the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist, as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824. 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI. All right, anybody recognize anything there? Can you name that animal tune, I guess, is the question. Well, I'm not gonna identify it yet, but... All right, well, at any rate, I thought we'd hear a different kind of animal tune. How about Put Your Cat Clothes On? How's that grab you? Okay, KUCI. They took my Bruce Wayne shoes down to Oldmobile. Got to rockin' with the rhythm, run 'em over at the hill. Put your cat clothes on, 'cause tonight we're gonna ready to rock and roll. Yeah, kitty, put your cat clothes on, 'cause tonight we're gonna bop and ride. Well, I slick up myself till I look like a jelly. I run downtown and get my female. Last night, gonna rock it right. Yeah. Kitty, put your cat clothes on, 'cause tonight, gonna rock it right. Rock it! All right, that was Put Your Cat Clothes On, Carl Perkins, here on Talking Animals, 88.9 FM, KUCI. It's just about to reach the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the UC Board of Regents. I also want to thank our guests Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson from the local chapter of the Rat and Mouse Club of America for joining us today in the studio and bringing some rat friends. Very cool. I also want to thank you all for listening and want to appreciate those who called in and attempted to call in, even the guy who was looking for tickets rather than anything related to Talk Animals. So I hope you'll join me again on Talk Animals next week when our scheduled guest is Catherine Doyle, who's been a pivotal figure behind the litigation to return Ruby. That's the nice elephant who'd been living with her elephant friend Gita at the L.A. Zoo for 16 years before being shipped off to a zoo in Tennessee. And they're trying to return Ruby to the L.A. Zoo. Perhaps not surprisingly, she's not doing all that well, having been torn from her home and friend of 16 years. And isolated, depressed, apparently other things too that are going on. So Catherine is out in front of a huge contingent who feel Ruby should never have been sent away to begin with, and are working diligently to return her back to her home at the LA Zoo. So that conversation on Talking Animals next Monday, September 22nd, will proceed an important hearing on this very issue to be held on September 25th. So I hope you'll join us then. Other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 4 p.m., it's Jock Talk with Omar, followed at 5 p.m. by Counterspin. Then at 5:30, it's Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday. There's great public affairs programming just like that virtually every weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again, at from 4 to 5 and 5 to 6 in the afternoon. So, again, I want to urge you to check out the brand new Talking Animals website at talkinganimals.net, www.talkinganimals.net. And please email us with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. As always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune. And this is Gillian Welch. Brand new music from her. This is also 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. We recommend you catch the Blues Disease with Jeff Scott, which starts momentarily here on KUCI. Catch you next time on Talking Animals.
One market don't stop the show. One market don't stop the show. One market don't stop the show. Whoa. So get on board. One market don't stop the show. One market don't stop the show. One market don't stop the show. Whoa. So get on board. Here comes a freight train. Here comes a freight train. Here comes a freight train. So get on board. One market don't stop the show. One market don't stop the show. One market don't stop the show. So get on board. There is a purpose. Running key. There is a captain and a steady wheel. And one monkey don't stop the show. One monkey don't stop the show. One monkey don't stop the show. Whoa, so get on board. One monkey don't stop the show. One monkey don't stop the show. One monkey don't stop the show. So get on board. Here comes a slow train. Here comes a slow train. Slow trains. Get on board. One monkey don't stop the show. One monkey don't stop the show. One monkey don't stop the show. Whoa. So get on board. She's at the station. Road. Stop. show. One monkey don't stop the show. One monkey don't stop the show. Freight train, here comes the freight train.